ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिक्यीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। For the next couple of few days, like, we will see a new work of Vedanta, a new work of Shankara. So the work is a very small work. It's a work that can be used for anusandhanam or contemplation. Mananam, mananatmakam as well. So the work is Maya Panchakam. So as the title goes, it is a Panchakam. Panchakam means set of five shlokas. So in total five shlokas, and the work is about Maya, as the work, the name itself says. So Maya is the subject matter of this work called Maya Panchakam. So any work of Vedanta, talks about just one entity. So the main subject matter of any work of Vedanta is what Vedanta or Upanishads itself says, Upanishad itself says, as Brahman, terms as Brahman. So what is Brahman? So if we ask, like, if we try to analyze what is Brahman, then the Shastras say, so Brahman is yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisamvishanti tad vijitnyasasva tat brahmeti. So from which this world that we currently experience, this world has come, should have a cause. So anything that is seen, anything that is not just seen, anything that which is also changing, requires a cause. So this is called causal analysis. So we'll have to go towards the cause. So the cause of this world is what is called as Brahman. So this world has come from the cause of Brahman. The world resides in the cause of Brahman as its substratum. And once the world, the time of the world ends, means anything that which is changing is something like which will have only limited time for existing, limited period, we can say. So such a world, like such a world which is limited, will also have to go back. Go back means like it will merge onto the goal, merge onto its own source. So that is what is called as called pralayam. Pralayam is when this world, this temporary changing world, merges onto its cause, the cause of Brahman. So that from which the world has come, that in which the world resides when it is seen as existing, and that onto which this world merges after its destruction, that is called Brahman. So if that is what is Brahman, so what about its the nature of Brahman? So nature of Brahman is what the Shastras again say: Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Sat, Chit, and Anantam, infinite, or Anandam, Sachidanandam. So Sat, chit and anandam, and or anantam. Anantam means that which is unlimited or infinite. That which is infinite, yovai bhuma, tat sukham. That which is infinite is always blissful. So that means bliss and infinite, being infinite, both go hand in hand. So that which is sat, sat means that which exists at all times, which never ceases to exist. This world that we see ceases to exist. During pralaya it ceases to exist. So, pralaya is impossible, it always exists. Then definitely no. Why? Because pralaya, we experience temporary pralaya each and every day of our life. The temporary pralaya that we experience daily is what is called as sushupti or gada nidra. That time during sleep, when we have, when we don't experience any external world, we also don't experience the dream, dream world inside us. So that state is a replica of pralayam, when things merge, when things subside temporarily, but it again comes back or again rebounds, we can say. So Brahman is Sat, means Brahman never ceases to exist. Unlike this world, which is temporary, which is constantly changing and which will cease to exist one point of time, Brahman never ceases to exist. It is always there. It was there in the past, it is there now, it will be there in the future as well. So that is Sat. And Chit. Chit means like Brahman is light. Brahman is light in the sense that Brahman exists of its own, and Brahman is the light which is used to see this temporary world as well. So the world, we know that anything that exists or that seems to exist, that appears to exist, seems to exist requires a light falling upon it. Only like when light falls on an entity, we can say the entity exists. So that light is the light of consciousness. So natatra suryo bhati chandra taharakam ema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. So we see that any light that we or any light that we see in this world is getting its light source, or its light source we can say, its light source is this Chit, is this Brahman. Without Brahman existing, nothing can exist. So that is Chaitanyam or Chit, the meaning of Chit. Yad aditya gatam tejo jagat bhasayate ekilam yat chandramasi ichchagnau tat tejo viddhi mamakam. Know that the light emitted by Aditya, sun, the moon, the stars, the Agni, everything, all those are the light of the Atman. Without the light of the Atman, all those will not be there. Oh, like the electricity is not from Brahman. Electricity is also from Brahman. Electricity is part of this world. Electricity is something which moves, which changes form. When electricity is that which changes form, is not real. That which changes form is not real. And this energy itself, like energy or electrical energy as we call it, energy is always there, means energy is not always there. How did this energy get into existence? And the energy is what is called as prana. Vedanta calls it as prana, vital force. That vital force itself is something spandanam, it is moving, it is changing. Electricity changes one form to another. Oh, Brahman also changes one form to another. Don't you say that this world is name and form of Brahman? Brahman never changes name and form. The world is a name and form of Brahman. We don't say that Brahman changes form. Brahman doesn't change form. But electricity appears in different form. So that means like it is a bit different. It's not the same. Not the same thing. And Brahman never becomes this name form world. Whereas electricity becomes those, electricity gets displayed, or electricity really becomes those forms, appears in those forms. So electricity, like electricity itself means like it is moving. So moving, Brahman cannot move. Electricity moves. That which moves means limited in space. That which is limited in space is not eternal. So we don't have to, I don't want to get into too much analysis, but it is pretty clear. So electricity is also like kind of a movement. So electricity or prana itself comes from the self. Prana spandanam, movement. Movement of prana. So prana's movement. So movement of prana, if prana has to move, then it should move in something which is non-moving or immoving. That immoving entity, what is that immoving entity? That immoving entity is Brahman, because Brahman alone is not limited in space. Why? Because Atmanah Akashah Sambhutam. Because from the Atman Akasham has come. Akashah Atmanah Sambhutam. This Akasham has come from the Atman. So if the Akasham, this Akasham that came from the Atman, that Akasham is the effect of Atman, which means the Atman has to be, has to pervade space. So that's why we know, like Ishavasim Idam Sarvam, Sarvam Brahmamayam. So this entire world is pervaded with Brahman. So Brahman is all pervasive. So if this movement has to happen, it has to happen in Brahman. So anyway, Chit, all light come from this Chit entity. Chit exists of its own. Now it not only exists of its own, it also gives existence, imparts existence to other objects of the world as well. So that is Chit. And Ananda means that which is unlimited, as we said. Desha Kala Vishaya Atitam, that which is beyond Desham Kalam Vishayam. So the new song in the site, like you can go through that to figure out, like to understand as to what does limitation by each of those mean. What does limitation by space mean? What does limitation by time mean? What does limitation by causation mean? So that you can go through the new song in the site, the Marwa song, the song in Marwa Raga, you can go through that. But Brahman is beyond all limitations. Brahman is Anantam and Brahman is Anandam as well. Brahman is Anandam as well. So Sachidanandam is the nature of Brahman from which this world has world seems to be created. So that Brahman alone exists. So we see that, like the Shastras say, that Sadeva Saumya Idam Agre Asir Ekameva Advitiyam. Only Sat exists. Sat means like existence of Brahman alone exists before creation. So after creation also Brahman alone exists. So that is the ultimate truth of Vedanta is that Brahman alone exists. It is only Brahman Sarvam Brahmamayam. So it is only Brahman, like nothing else exists. There is not even scope for anything else to exist. Whatever exists is Brahman alone. So if everything is one Brahman, so everything is Brahman and Brahman alone exists, I am Brahman, then what makes us feel that duality, the duality that we currently experience, seems to exist? What makes us think that we are experiencing duality? Duality seems to be very real. So when we try to find out the answer to this question or these questions, so that is when like we get introduced to the term of Maya. So Maya is the one word answer or one word explanation for the entire world that we perceive. Not just the world that we perceive, but along with the world comes like also duality, dual notions. What is duality? What is dukkham? So all those can be explained in just one term, which is Maya. So many people are interested a lot in understanding what Maya is. So like it is okay to understand Maya. It is good to know what is Maya. But we have to understand Like, we have to remember while trying to understand Maya that Brahman alone exists means this entity, this second entity of Maya also has to be an illusion. So Maya, like if Brahman alone exists, then Maya also should be an illusion. So that is there in the very word of Maya. So Maya itself means Ya, Ma, Sa, Maya. Ya, Ma, that which doesn't exist, that is Maya. So Maya means that which doesn't exist. So if why should we like give a term and put as an entity that which doesn't exist? Because sadhakas do experience the world as existing. So if we try to explain it from the perspective of Brahman, one Brahman alone, then people will not be convinced, people will not be satisfied. So if we start taking Gaudapada's standpoint that this world is not at all created, there is no world created, there is no way the world can be created, we will not be convinced. And until we are convinced, we will not be able to progress in the spiritual path. So until we attain a particular state in the spiritual path, we'll not be able to apprehend or appreciate the concept that this world that we perceive doesn't exist at all. So therefore it is essential that we get a direct answer, temporary answer in the initial state or in the beginning. So that is what that one word answer for us is Maya. So that one word answer is Maya. So Maya does, like when we try to analyze Maya, so many people will just say, like use this vague term of Maya, like, oh, this is Maya, that is Maya. Oh, it is Maya that we forget everything. Yeah, Maya can mean a lot of things. So in brief, if we want to briefly understand Maya or define Maya, there's one very easy way to define Maya. Anything that is not Brahman, that is Maya. So anything that is not Brahman is Maya. So can anything be there different from Brahman? No. So what does that exactly mean? That means whenever like we don't remember Brahman, we are in Maya. So either Brahman or Maya. When Maya is there, Brahman is not there. When Brahman is there, Maya is not there. Again, when Brahman is there means it is a perspective vision. It's not exactly what all times Brahman alone is there. So this can be understood with the analogy of light and darkness. So light, so we say darkness is there. Can darkness be there? Definitely no. Darkness is not an entity. Darkness is not a positive entity that we can say it exists. Lack of light or absence of light is darkness. But sometimes like absence of light, like we may not understand clearly absence of light. Light is not there. So like that may, we may not be able to apprehend. Therefore it is said it is called darkness. Darkness means absence of light. So Maya means Brahman. When Brahman is not perceived or Brahman is not remembered or Brahman is forgotten, that is Maya. So Maya means when Brahman is not there, Maya is there. So if Maya is there, Maya means that which is not there, that which is not real, so that which is unreal, that which creates unreal things, that which shows as if unreal things exist, unreal things are present. So that is Maya. So that Maya, therefore, will lead us only to Dukkham. So that Maya, like that Maya which is, so that Maya which doesn't really exist, what doesn't really exist but makes it appear as if it is real or as if things are there, things are present, what else can it give other than Dukkham? So it is like an analogy of running behind water in desert. There is no water in desert. But still if we think there is water in desert, what will happen? Like what can that give us? That can only give us Dukkham. So Maya ultimately only gives us Dukkham. But Maya doesn't exist at all. Whatever exists is one Brahman. So this definition of Maya or like analysis of Maya is only for sadhakas who want a temporary direct answer, convincing answer to the world that they perceive, to their state of forgetting Brahman. Why do I forget Brahman? From where this, how, from where or how this world has come? What is dukkham? What is samsaram? And all those. For people who want to figure all those out, people who want to understand all those, for them the term of Maya is introduced. There is nothing really called Maya. So whatever exists is then what? Whatever exists is one Brahman alone. So that is also the reason why when we try to understand or analyze Maya, if we don't go back to the substratum of Maya, the essence of Maya, which is Brahman, we will not be successful in our attempts to understand Maya. So if we have to understand Maya properly, it is like trying to understand the water seen in desert. So we can only see, we can only understand water in desert properly or correctly if we go to the desert that is seen in the water. Until we go to the desert, until we reach the desert, we will not be able to get any happiness out of it. So the more we try to analyze the water in desert, the more we try to analyze water, the more dukkham we will get, the more confused we will be. So there are people in this world who will run, who run behind by trying to understand Maya, and like whatever that it doesn't exist about this world, creation of the world, about mind, trying to understand mind. So today we find people trying to figure out a way to figure out a cipher or a key to this, the mind. So they are all unsuccessful. So the so-called psychiatrists of today, they are unsuccessful, completely unsuccessful. Why is it that they are unsuccessful? Why is it that though today we have our science or scientists have a lot of ways to figure out earthquakes, figure out tsunamis and all those, like people are able to figure out a lot of things. Though all these tornado watch, all those are like people are able to figure all those out today. But even though they are able to figure all those out, there are the progress of science has been like anything. So it is kind of miraculous progress. So today everything is there, like we can just with an iPhone we can find anything and everything. While we are driving, while we are on the railway station, we can figure out like which stop we have to get down, we can figure out where to have food, we can like we can even order online with the iPhone. We can also like do a lot of things there. So everything can be done there. So though everything can be done, science has progressed quite a lot. So though science has progressed quite a lot, but still there is only sorrow everywhere. So one earthquake in Haiti. So like just one earthquake, that is enough. That disrupts the entire world. Of course, it is a good thing. Good part is that people are getting together. The entire world is getting together in trying to help people there. So that is a good thing, good outcome. But still, those things happen quite a lot. And even though people help, people get the good mind to help others out. So they are helping out. People are helping out the suffering, the poor. Though all those are happening, still there is only dukkha. So for some time, like we may get a sense of satisfaction that we are helping out people and something is happening. So like something we are giving, and all those like we'll be able to remember. But still, though we are able to do that, still there's no happiness. There's no happiness in life. So we have like all the pleasures that we can attain in this world. So pleasures are there at the tip of one's fingers. So at the fingertip, like we have everything that we want, but still there is no happiness. So technological advancement, all our like physical advancement, people are able to get a good body. Mentally, there are different ways to please the mind. So many different ways to please the mind, not just television or few things, music, television, like all those were gone. So today, like if we have to exercise, you don't have to go to the gym to exercise. You can just get the V or Y or however it is called, V, I guess. So V, get a V, a V gaming system, and then like while playing the game itself is a kind of exercise. So you can do all those, like there are many ways to do things. So everything is there, but still there is no happiness. So there is no happiness because people are all trying to figure out about this world. So people are trying to figure out a way to create a better life externally. So that's why Amma always says that. The goal of life is not ashrama, sakshatkaram, or changing the environment around us, but the goal is to change our mental perspective. So my mind has to change, not the external environment. So Amma gives many stories to illustrate that. So there was once a king was walking with his minister. So when he was walking with his minister, in those days people used to wear nothing in their feet, so bare feet they used to walk. So when the king was walking, like he stepped on a stone and it pierced his feet. So therefore he ordered that the entire kingdom be covered with carpets, so that like his feet will not get pierced. So that is how we try to do, like we try to change the environment that we are in to make it like very pleasurable. All the pleasures that we can get from the world, we try to get it. So we try all those, like, but that is not the goal. That cannot happen. Like we cannot carpet the entire world, we cannot change the entire world. Osama bin Laden and all those terrorists, all such people will happen, like I think today or yesterday, the JFK airport in New York was evacuated because of a security breach. A few days back, a person who was traveling from Nigeria, like he had a human bomb. So he was it didn't work out well, or it didn't get ignited properly, and the co-passengers saw it and they overpowered him. So a major flight disaster was avoided. Deja vu of 9/11. But that didn't happen. So after that, like one day, after a couple of days or after that, in Newark Airport, EWR, there was a security breach. So though everything is there in this world, like, but such people will be there. Terrorists, bad people, businessmen, like who care about themselves. They don't care like whether the product, the tobacco industry. So people don't like, they don't care. People in tobacco industry, they don't care whether people die because of smoking. They care about their own benefit. So as Amma says, it is like a person growing a cow in their house. So the person grows in his house, let's say. So the person grows or keeps a cow in the house because the cow gives milk. The day the cow stops giving milk, the person will not think twice to give the cow away to the butcher. So that is how the world is. So such people will be there. But we can't change this entire world. But what can be changed? We can change our perspective. So the minister said to the king, "Oh, that is impossible. Why don't you wear a chappal, wear a slipper?" So the person, then the king wore a slipper and the entire world became a good place. So it is a mental perspective that has to change. Mental perspective means like we have to realize as to this, the temporary nature of this world. This world is Maya, which doesn't exist. Then what does exist? We have to seek that, we have to realize that. So until that happens, this Maya will delude us. It will not only delude us, it will give us more and more dukkham. So, though like all the pleasures and everything is there in the world, anything that we want is there in the world, still the world is in a total chaotic situation. so much that people daily are dying, not due to natural calamities, but people are dying due to addictions, drinking, smoking, drinking and driving, drugs. So all those, like whatever way is there for people to end their life, whatever way the, people can experience misery in this world, all those we see. Though externally, there are like many ways to enjoy pleasures, but those pleasures themselves lead us to a state of sorrow. So the same tablets which eradicate a kind of sorrowful or painful state, they themselves, like people become addicted to them, and they themselves leads to our own death or our own perishing. So that is what we see. Many people die due to drug, drug overdose, as it is called. So anyway, all those are there. So the message in the story, we cannot change this entire world. We'll have to realize, we have to remember that this world doesn't really exist. This world is just Maya. So Maya means that which doesn't really exist. So what does really exist? What really exists is Brahman. So Gata Kudhya Adhikam Sarvam Ratika Matra Mevahi Tadvat Brahma Jagat Sarvam Iti Vedanta Dindima. So this entire world has come from Brahman. So there should be some relation between the world and Brahman. So the relationship is that the world doesn't exist at all. So the world is just name and form in Brahman. So Nama Rupam. So Nama Rupam, like the analogy that Vedanta gives, is the analogy of mud, objects made of mud, or gold. So objects made of mud. So Ghatam Kudyam. So pot, wall. So all these are objects made of mud. So all these objects made of mud are mud alone. So name and form, like one name, one form. Today it is a pot. Tomorrow it will be a bowl. Day after tomorrow it will become something else. It will become a toy. It will become a bat. It may become something else. So it can become a lot of things. So it becomes a lot of things. But all those are like just names and forms. Those are temporary. Names and forms change. Names and forms constantly change. But the reality, the truth, the essence of all those names and forms is mud and mud alone. Sorry. Is mud alone. So mud alone exists. All those names and forms are temporary. They may seem to exist. It doesn't matter whether they seem to exist or not. They don't really exist at all. So similarly, this world is also names and forms in Brahman. Another analogy given is the goldsmith, like gold and goldsmith. So gold ornaments, there are many gold ornaments today, like lot of new designs. Each and every day we find new design. Every time Valentine's Day comes, new designs come. Each and every year designs change. So even people, like people in India, elderly people in India who visit, who attend marriages quite often. So they have to like always keep changing. So they every year they'll go to their own goldsmith, the goldsmith whom they know. They'll give their old ornament and get a new fashion. So fashions keep changing quite frequently these days. And of course marriages do happen also quite frequently, because people try to, people don't try change themselves, they try to change the other person rather than themselves. So it is like one of my mother's sister, when her daughter got married, so she took a vow. And the vow was that like she will take the son-in-law to a temple and shave his head. So what a vow. The vow is not about oneself. And the vow is not about the daughter. The vow is about the son-in-law, shaving the head of the son-in-law. So people try to change others. Try to change others rather than changing themselves. So when that happens, in a marriage, like when people don't adjust, they try to change the other person, marriages will happen quite frequent, quite often. And today people are not like bothered about divorce and other stuff. Both people are very understanding, so understanding that they are ready to end it and then continue with their life. So too many marriages means too many marriage parties, functions to attend. And these functions are places like where people can show their status. So people think if they wear beautiful saris, if they and wear a lot of ornaments, then like their status is very high. And it's not just with girls. One of my friend, when he got married recently, when he came back, like he had glittering gold chain. So gone are the days when only girls used to wear ornaments. Today guys also wear bracelets, gold bracelets, although they're very common these days. So everybody wants to show off their status as if they are wearing, if they are wearing gold, then they are great. So it is something like with, if you have gold ornaments, then you can survive anywhere, any place, wherever you are, you can survive. People have that notion. So that is how it is. So if marriage functions happen quite often, like then people have to change the pattern, fashion of gold ornaments as well. You can't wear the same fashion that was there 20 years back. So things have changed. Things change quite a lot these days. Quite frequently things change. So therefore, people will go to the elderly people, they'll go to the goldsmith and say, I need a new fashion. So as per the latest fashion. So if the goldsmith wants to survive, he will know the latest fashions. So he will immediately say, okay, this is the fashion I'll give you. And today people are also like well advanced. So they won't even ask the goldsmith like what is the latest fashion. They'll say, okay, I checked up online. Here is the printout. So look at it. This is the latest fashion. I want this. The goldsmith immediately will see, oh, this is the one. Oh, this is the one that Shah Rukh Khan wore. So done. This is the one that Aishwarya Rai wore. Like done, set. So that is how people are today. So the goldsmith will take it. And then like he will work on it. And then he will give it back. He is happy because he has got some money for it. And the elderly people, they are happy because they got new fashion and they can show off. So anyway, their perspective is they get something new. So they don't get anything new. And the goldsmith just changes the name and form. He doesn't do anything else. And for that changing name and form, like it, he charges money. So for him, it is just a gold ornament, which means it is gold only. So if we didn't view them as gold, then he cannot create a new ornament out of it. So the very fact that he creates a new ornament out of the same gold ornament itself shows that he sees them as gold. So his vision is called Kanaka Yeka Mahabuddhi. The Mahabuddhi, the great vision of seeing everything as gold, and therefore he is able to survive in the industry. He is able to please people as well. So, but the customers, they see them differently, and therefore they get deluded by it. So they get deluded by the gold ornaments, the name and form. Therefore they spend money to change the name and form, whereas the goldsmith sees them all as gold, and therefore he doesn't get affected by the names and forms. Instead, he makes money out of the names and forms. So similarly with this world also, this world is name and form of Brahman. So if we see the world as name and form of Brahman, if we see it as Brahman, we'll be able to get anandam out of it, we'll be able to benefit out of it. But if we don't see the world as Brahman, instead we see it as nama rupam, then manase vedam aptavyam neha nanasti kinchana mrityo samrityam gachyati yaiha nana iva pashyati. A person who sees duality as if existing, there is no duality at all. So neha nanasti kinchana, there is no duality at all here. Not even little kinchana, not even little, there is duality here. But those who see duality as if existing, so people who think that duality exists and they think that duality is existing, such people, like, they will be going from death to death. So death means dukkham, so they will go from one dukkham to another. So today some dukkham, tomorrow another dukkham, day after tomorrow another dukkham. So dukkham will go on and on for such people. They will experience only dukkham, only sorrow, and based on those sorrow they will want to come out of those sorrow. And since they don't realize that this world is maya, maya means it doesn't exist, so they have to seek Brahman. They don't know that, therefore they go from one birth to another birth, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So again and again they suffer in this world. So that is what happens. So if that should not happen, we should realize, we should remember that this world is namarupam in Brahman, and Brahman alone exists. So if this namarupam analogy is not enough realize our very nature of Brahman, then the Shastras also give the analogy of dream or swapna. So in the dream state, like when we go to bed during night time and then we sleep, so when we sleep we get into a different, entirely different world. So we have a very different experience. We are king ruling a country, and then we have a lot of servants, we have a lot of queens, we spend a lot of time in hunting. Hunting used to be like, maybe like we are in ancient times, so therefore hunting was the one of the hobbies during those times. So we do that, we rule very well, like we give court and all happens, like we give proper judgment. So everything happens, like we are sleeping, we get up, like we have a few children, so we are living very happily. And all of a sudden what happens is, all of a sudden our arch enemy comes in front of us and he is about to kill us. Suddenly we shout out. When we shout out, like we realize that we are awake and we are sitting in our bed. So we just woke up because like the enemy, arch enemy was about to kill us. So when we dreamt in that dream world, it was only this, the dreamer, only I existed. So only I existed, but the same I became this entire world. The same I seemed to become many. So it became many and there were so many experiences there. So all those experiences were not real. Whatever was real was only I. So the dreamer alone existed, but still it seemed to appear as if duality was there, as if many was there. So similar is the case with this world. Swapna maye yata drishtam gandharvanagaram yata tatha vishwamidam drishtam vedanteshu vichakshanaihi. So even as like in dream world we see many, Gandharva Nagaram, so we see a castle in space at times. When we see we get deluded. Similarly, this world is seen by knowers of the truth, people who have insight into Vedanta. So this world is like a dream world. It doesn't Swakale Satyavad Bhati Swabodhe Satyasad Bhavet. When we experience it, it appears to be very real, but it is not at all real. It doesn't exist at all. Only Brahman exists at all times. So the same, even when we dream, the same is in dream as well. When we dream, there seems to be many things existing, but only the dreamer exists at all times. Same with this world as well. If we have this vision, if we are able to see this entire world as pervaded in and out by Brahman, because Brahman alone exists, then such a person is able to mameva ye prapadyante. So such people have prapatti, means total surrender onto Brahman. Total surrender, people many times ask or think, what is surrender? Surrender means like filling our mind with Brahman, that is surrender to Brahman. So surrender means fully thinking about Brahman, that is surrender. So if we are able to think of Brahman, at all times, whether we are sleeping, whether we are eating, whether we are walking, whether we are drinking. So irrespective of whatever be the activity that we are doing, if we are able to remember Brahman, remember that this world is Brahman, Ishavasi Madam Sarvam. So if we are able to remember, that is surrender and that is prapatti. So a person who doesn't have prapatti, so he will be deluded by Maya. Delusion by Maya means it is very tough to come out. So that means duratyaya. It is something like which is very tough to conquer, something which is very tough to overcome, something which is very tough to get rid of. And that means, like, if we are not able to get rid of Brahman, that means that we will experience dukkham. So when if we experience dukkham, then we will strive to come out of it. And since we don't know the truth behind this world as Brahman, so what will happen is again and again we will experience sorrow. We will do more kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum cha bunjate. We will do actions to enjoy, to get happiness, and like those happiness, like we will again want to do more actions to sustain those happiness. So this chain continues. So we will not attain any happiness, and then like punarapi jananam punarapi maranam, again birth and death. More and more births will have to be taken in order to experience. So this maya shakti is duratyaya. It is very tough to conquer. Then how to conquer it? Sarvam brahma iti bhavam prapattihi yetasma tarati maya. So like everything is one Brahman, that is prapatti. So prapatti means maam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantipe. So like a person, like having the vision, having the notion in the mind that everything is one Brahman, that is prapatti. So that is prapatti, and if that prapatti is there, a person will be able to easily overcome maya. So that is what we have to strive for after learning about maya. So after learning maya panchakam, our goal should not be trying to explain maya, elucidate maya. Should not be able to understand or write things about maya. But our goal should be to remember that this world is maya, which means this world is essentially, this world is ultimately Brahman and Brahman alone. So if we are able to do that, then yogaratova bogaratova sangaratova sangavihinaha yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandatyeva. So a person, like whether we are doing yogam, whether we are doing bogam, whether we are getting attached to people, or whether we are detached to people, irrespective of all those, we'll be able to ever rejoice in bliss, because we know that everything is Brahman alone. So this Advaita Bhavam, it is also called by Krishna as Samatvam or Yogam. So such Samatvam, like, means that we are devoid of Ragadvesham. So Nirdvandvam, Dvandva Bhavam is not there. So if all those are not there, we only see Brahman, and Brahman is blissful. So when we see Brahman, and when we see Brahman and Brahman alone, then there will be nandati, nandati, nandatyeva. There will only be anandam. So we will be able to rejoice in bliss rather than suffer again and again in this world, in this samsara sagaram. So yaha samsare bahudustare kripaya apare pahi murare. So this samsara sagaram, this is an ocean. This ocean of samsara is like very vast. It's very deep. There are many fears, dangerous creatures in it. So, and it, like, there are a lot of waves. So all those are there. So it is very tough to conquer. This maya is very, very tough to conquer. But if we are focused on Brahman, if we remember Brahman, we'll be able to conquer maya very easily. So it's such a person, sarvam brahma iti bhavam prapattihi. So everything is Brahman, that is prapatti. So prapatti is not just going to the temple once in a while, or going to a spiritual master and falling at the feet of the master. Many of us do. Oh, you are my guru, I surrender to you, whatever you say I will do. Although they are not prapatti, okay, maybe like the person is a jivan mukta or an avatara, it doesn't matter whether a person is avatara or not. If we like, if we have to overcome maya, then prapatti of Brahman, whether it is a form, the form of Ishvara, the form of Krishna, Vishnu, Devi, all those are fine. But if we pervade that form to the entire world and remember that form to be Brahman, then we will get anandam. Then we will overcome maya, else it is not prapatti. So sarvam brahma iti bhavam prapattihi. Prapatti means everything is one Brahman. That is prapatti. If we have that prapatti, we'll be able to conquer maya. That is the purpose of learning this work of maya panchakam. Through this learning, through this analysis of maya panchakam, this very beautiful five shloka work of Shankara, understand this work, once we do anusandhanam, once we remember this work, we'll be able to overcome maya very easily by contemplating on Brahman. So may Amma bless us so that this analysis of maya panchakam will lead us to focus on Brahman and thereby conquer maya, conquer dukkham once and for all. We'll continue, we'll start with the first shloka in the next day. Namaskar.